You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ry, the movie guy, and this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we are off the rails. Cinema Jaw is off the rails as we cover our top five favorite train movies.
I'm putting in some Ozzy right here.
Hey, that wasn't bad right there.
Yeah, you know, Randy Rhoads.
Awesome.
One of the best guitarists of all time.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. We are covering train movies because me and Matt both watched a new film, Snowpiercer.
I can't wait to talk about it.
I know.
Very good.
I got my review. Matt's got his review. I think Matt and I are going to agree on this movie.
It's a rare thing that we agree on a movie, but sometimes they're agreeable, right?
Every once in a while, it does happen here on Cinema Jaw. This is episode 199. It should happen every once in a while, Matt.
I know. It's the one before the big 200.
More to come on that in the episode.
All right.
Matt, we also got a special guest joining us.
Yeah, Colt Cabana.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this guy's a polymath. He does a lot of stuff, probably best known for his wrestling career.
Yes.
He's also a comedian.
I believe this is the first professional wrestler that we've had on the show.
Yes, I believe you're correct. Although we did talk to Virgil at C2E2, didn't we?
We did. We did talk to Virgil, but we didn't get him on the air. We talked to him for a while, but yeah, Virgil is a great guy.
Yeah, he's a character. No doubt about that.
Can't wait to get Colt Cabana in here. He does a whole range of stuff, not even professional wrestling. We're talking comedy, and he has his own podcast as well. In addition to that, Matt, we go eye for an eye on Lucy, the new film starring Scarlett Johansson. There's also another movie on video on demand that we want to call attention to. It is the documentary about Roger Ebert's life entitled Life Itself.
Can't wait for that, too.
Awesome. I know. Nice review there. Top five train movies, as we said, and plus yourself versus Colt in honor of Lucy. You will be taking Colt on in Scarlett Johansson, Morgan Freeman movie trivia.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to suck.
Plus, when I saw these previews of Lucy, it got me thinking. I mean, Scarlett Johansson, can anybody buy her as some big action star? No. I mean, what a joke. I mean,
no, why?
Because no way she could kick anybody's ass, much less some guy.
You know whose ass she could kick? Angelina Jolie.
No way.
Nobody can believe her as an action
Jolie's
star.
No, Jolie's an action star.
No. Cinema War.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Colt's got to judge a tough one right there.
Yeah.
So it is jam-packed jaw, as always, Matt.
Indeed. He's going to powerbomb you through the table on that Cinema War. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. So without further ado, we bring in our guest. Colt Cabana is a professional wrestler, a comedian, just an all-around entertainer. He hosts the popular podcast Art of Wrestling. Colt Cabana, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
All right. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Colt also has you have another project.
I have about 1,000 projects.
you do Worst Promo Ever with Marty DeRosa.
I do. Can I say that? Is that okay?
You can
for
say
the
do
kids?
Do.
Okay. I do every single Monday night. Marty and I, we do a YouTube series called Worst Promo Ever. And amongst other things. And I have a site called Digital Colt where we do downloads, but we do. So we have this project called $5 Wrestling that we started a while back, and it's. There's some awful wrestling in the North Carolina scene. Not awful, but just not up to the par that some of the great wrestlers are in the world. And we started doing commentary over it as a project for this company called High Spots. And that grew into something, $5 Wrestling, where we're doing commentary over the wrestling. And then we started doing $5 Wrestling movies, which is available. So
it's almost like the MST3K of wrestling.
Very much so. And now it's to the point where we have special downloads on my merch site where we watch Suburban Commando, we watch No Holds Barred, The Chaperone, I Like to Hurt People, which is a 1970s, like, weird, weird, half-written documentary about wrestling in the Detroit scene. I have many projects.
Aren't you glad we didn't do wrestling movies?
Oh, yeah.
It's a short list.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
When you told me trains, I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic we were doing wrestling movies. Only the thing I know most everything about. But no, let's
unfortunately,
get
though, there's no, I mean, really, those are all funny movies, but there's none that are like super.
Well, you got The Wrestler.
The Wrestler, okay. Big exception to the rule.
There's a lot of great wrestling movies.
There are?
Sure.
And especially, what's that one that Rowdy Piper's in?
Oh, God, yeah. They Live?
There you go.
That is, yeah.
And there's also the one
John Carpenter.
Roddy Piper was in one where he was Quick Rick Roberts. It was on HBO all the time when I was a kid. Captain at Lou Albano was like Captain Lou Marengo. And the guy was Harry Smilak. Why can't I? You guys won't have a clue with this one. It was like 1986. We'll have to look into the jam box for this
it's
one.
The jaw
it's the jaw box. The jaw
box. Is that, wait, well, that wasn't Buckaroo Banzai.
Throw it in the jaw box. What was the name of the wrestler?
Piper was in it. Lou Albano was in it. And one of the guys, his name was Harry. It was the original Rock and Wrestling. Why can't I think of
throw
it?
Throw it in the jaw box. Throw it in the jaw box. Awesome. So let's talk about this wrestling for a while, because obviously you're the first professional wrestler. You've wrestled in the WWE, and it took you a while to get there. So how did you get started in wrestling, and where do you just join a league to get started to become a professional?
You join like a beer league, you know? It's like Chicago Beer League softball. You just jump in. It's just that easy. You got bad knees, you know? You run to first with a brew in your hand. It took me about 8 years to get to the WWE, and then I barely lasted about 2 years in the WWE, and since being fired from the WWE, I've actually had the most success in my career this past 5 years. But I wanted to be a wrestler my whole life. That's all I ever wanted to do. That was the dream. My parents actually said, listen, you got to finish college before you start your wrestling career. They're like, you can do whatever you want after you finish college.
And now, were you wrestling in college and in high school?
So, no, I never did any kind of amateur.
Okay, no amateur.
To me,
okay.
It was completely different. But I did play football.
Okay.
And so since my parents said I couldn't go, I couldn't just not go to college, I had to go to college, I was like, well, the announcers always talk about football, how these guys had football backgrounds, so I'll go play football. So I went to Western Michigan, which is a Division I-A school, and I was the biggest scrub on the team. But I was like, it's fine because this is this is for my resume. Right. Like if I go to Vince McMahon and I'm like, you know, it says I'm on the team. It says I'm on the team. It doesn't matter if I didn't play one game and I was redshirted the whole time. But I realized like that was the worst thing ever. And I was like, Mom, Dad, can't deny me this anymore. So I stopped after 1 year of football. I went right to a wrestling school. It was on Six Corners, which is Irving Park. What are the other corners? Milwaukee is there somewhere? Yeah. And it was a place called the Steel Domain, two local guys in Chicago. The place is no longer running. That's where I started as a trainee. CM Punk was there as a trainee also. We both kind of started as just two scrubs. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's known as one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I'm a dude from Chicago who wrestles. So we're doing good. Everything's going well. And I ended up finishing up college. That was the deal. I could go do wrestling as long as I finish up my studies, and I did.
Yeah, interesting that you were actually talking about how like there's a Detroit scene and the North Carolina wrestling going on. So there's almost like different scenes all around the country. For people not familiar with this kind of wrestling, there's small leagues, pockets all around the country.
Well, yeah, I talk about I like to hurt people, which had like an emphasis on the Sheik, the original Sheik.
He was dirty.
Yeah, he was... the dirtiest.
Yeah.
And that was the Detroit territory. But before WWF became this global phenomenon, not to be confused with the John Travolta movie, right?
to tie it
all in here. there was little territories all over the country. I think there was something like 27 main territories and then little territories besides that. And that's like, there's a promoter in Minnesota doing his thing there. There's a promoter in Detroit doing his thing there. There's a promoter in Texas doing their thing. And they know not to mess with those. It's like there was handshake deals. And Vince McMahon came in and said, screw all these handshakes. I'm taking over the world. And basically he did, you know, because money talks. And he had he put all his money up front, and he took over syndication. And, nowadays, like with TBS, like the superstations, and he got in with USA Network and just kind of...
Yeah, it's such a great time. Like he made it into a cartoon, you know? I mean, there was literally a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah. And awesome. there's movies like The Rookie, and there's stories out there of baseball players getting the call to the big leagues. How'd it go over? When does Vince McMahon call you and offer you a contract to the WWE?
No.
Is it anything glorified like that, or how does it go down?
I just was trying to get in. I traveled around. So, you know, at first I wrestled in locally. Actually, at first we couldn't even wrestle locally. I had to go to Minnesota and Michigan and Milwaukee. And then eventually Chicago let us wrestle a little bit. And then eventually we started going to Ohio and Pittsburgh, and we started branching out. And then we started wrestling all over the country. Next thing you know, I'm getting emails from England. I'm going on my first tour of England and Europe. And then I'm going to Japan. And then I'm traveling the world, and I'm making a little buzz for myself. And then what happened is all my friends started going to the WWE and wrestling there. And while I was traveling the world, they're like, hey, Colt's a great wrestler. You should have him in the WWE. And not Vince McMahon, but like his like underneath guys are like, all right, we'll give him a shot. So they gave me a shot. And, you know, I went on TV. I didn't wrestle as Colt Cabana when I was in WWE. I was Scotty Goldman, the first Jewish sensation of the professional wrestling scene.
I love it.
Yeah, and it didn't work out that well, but this could have been my theme song. Can we pick this up or no? Unbelievable.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, so it wasn't a phone call from Vince McMahon. I had a couple conversations with Vince McMahon. Didn't go amazing, yeah.
People who live in Chicago sort of know you very well, especially if you have done any business with One Hour Tees.
I was going to say, if you drive on the street, you know who I am, cartoon form.
So I'm curious, how did that relationship start? Because you walk into One Hour Tees, and you're basically the poster child.
Yeah, and let me just, for the Jawheads, give a visual, because Jawheads are all around the country. You constantly see Colt's image, and he's basically flexing his muscles, wearing a shirt that says One Hour Tees.
Yeah, there's got like 40 billboards all over the city.
Yeah, I love them.
Of just cartoon me hanging out. Basically, and like you understand from the podcast world, is I mean, globally, I was unable to be a success on a global television realm, but I took the internet into my own hands, and like I was like nowadays, even though we're all like, it's so weird to call yourself punk rock and rebellion and DIY because we're all sitting on MacBooks and iPads, you know, doing the tech work. But that's really what it is. It's like we're making our own paths. We're doing our own thing. And with podcasting comes also merchandise and, you know, kind of like, you know, the Ramones, I guess. They said the Ramones never made any money on music, but they made it all on merchandise or whatever it might be. And that's kind of the same for me as an independent underground artist. My art is professional wrestling. And, T-shirts and DVDs and all of this stuff, that's kind of how I really make my living. And so Ryan, who owns One Hour Tees here in Chicago, ships everywhere around the world, he was a huge wrestling fan. We knew each other through mutual friends. My podcasts were getting good numbers. Actually, CM Punk needed a shirt that said, I broke Big Show's hand. So first we went to Ryan at One Hour Tees and said, would you like to make this? And then we'll take a picture, say he got it here. And he was like, of course. And then from there it grew. We started doing a sponsorship with my podcast. And then all of a sudden we invented this thing called ProWrestlingTees.com, which I don't know if you guys know about. But so that's like where you can get any pro wrestler that signs up. You could support them right there on the site by going to their page and picking out their shirt. And the money goes right to them. You know, Ryan prints it out, makes it, and then he sends these guys a check.
That's awesome.
Which is unheard of.
Sure.
Yeah, and we tried to start podcast tees. And unfortunately, it didn't catch on like it did like pro wrestling tees, just because I have such a good grasp of the wrestling scene. Whereas, I mean, I have a solid grasp of the podcast scene, but like I'm not friends with all the podcasters in the world, as I am really with the wrestling guys. So
let's talk about your podcast for a while, because just before we went on air, you were mentioning that you are also approaching your episode number 200.
Oh, he just passed it.
No, I did.
Just passed it.
Yeah, approaching four years for me. I think I'm at, this week will be episode 207, I believe, for me.
And me and Matt were commenting that we're about to hit 200, but we're doing it at almost 5 years because we take breaks. So I got to know, Colt, how many breaks have you taken since you started?
Never.
Not one?
You can't break.
What?
Because that was like, that's what it was
driven. Not one break? That's insane.
I'll tell you, you know, I might be a big dumb wrestler, but there's a marketing brain in here. And especially like WWE, you know, you learn things. And it's like, these guys, they have commercial. I mean, WWE television, they're on every single week. And you think about John Cena, like you know John Cena because you watch him every single Monday. Once those guys leave the WWE, you just forget about them. You know what I'm saying? They don't have that weekly reminder. And to me, it's so important that everybody knows every Thursday, my podcast will be there. You can listen to my show. You can enjoy me. You become a fan of me. And then that's when you're like, oh my God, I think I really like this Colt Cabana when he talks to other wrestlers. I'm going to support him by going to a show, by buying a t-shirt or whatever it might be.
It dawns on me, though, the reason he can do it every week is Colt doesn't have to do the show with Matt Kibinski, Matt K here.
Hey.
Then you need a break. You know what I mean?
Well, that's another thing, too. Like, sadly, like I learned quickly that if I want to get stuff done, it's got to be all me. And at first, I wasn't editing. And at first, you know, there was just a lot of other things where eventually I was like, I got to do all of this. on my own, and I taught myself how to do everything. So it's on me. And the great thing about it is it's two mics. You know, when I do the intros and outros, it's just one mic and it's just a computer. And whenever and I go to Japan for a month at a time, and I go to Scotland for a month at a time, and I travel the world, and I'm in Australia 2 weeks, and then the next week I'm in India or Mexico, wherever it might be. But I always, it's not hard to find a Wi-Fi connection, and it's not hard to find, it's not hard to take my laptop with me.
And on this podcast, you actually interview wrestlers and anybody who in the wrestling world, or
yeah, well, it's not really. I try to stay away from interview because, like, you know, for me, I've been interviewed a million times, and I just like sitting down and hanging out and talking. Mm-hmm. So it is like I try to make it's
conversational.
Gotcha. And because these guys are all my friends, they're sure. All my friends. It's locker room talk, and basically, what it was, it's like we were having all these fun chats in the locker room, and it's like no one was recording it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to record it, and we're going to do it. And then, so that's kind of the gist of the podcast. Yeah.
So for the jawheads listening to this that want to hear the podcast, where's the best place to find it online?
iTunes, right? ColtCabana.com. It's called The Art of Wrestling. And I say it's more like, it's a lot like a personal journal. Like, you can, even if you quasi like wrestling, I say if you're an artist or someone struggling to do whatever you want with your life, because of my situation of how I had my dream job, and then it was taken away from me, and I was like, oh, crap, what do I do now? That's when I started it. It was like my journey of like, okay, I got to get relevant, and I don't want a 9-to-5 job. You know, I want to continue doing what I do as a wrestler. So a lot of my conversations are like, why are we doing this? How did we do this? What are the struggles that we started with and continue with? And it's a lot more like in your head as opposed to, who did you wrestle on this night, or what were the stats sure. on that? Yeah, it's a lot more about life than it is wrestling, really.
Yeah, so we covered wrestling, we covered podcasting, but you also do some comedy.
Yeah, and in a week and a half here, I'm going to Scotland for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's the largest comedy and arts festival in the world. There's 3,500 shows daily for 25 straight days.
Oh, my God.
And this is the second year in a row I did it. I did it last year.
This is where Craig Ferguson had his big breakout. I remember
at
reading
the Fringe.
Yeah. I read his biography. Yeah.
And this is like where they say you get good if mm-hmm. you want to do it. See, when I was 24 years old, I went to England, and I wrestled, I think, 85 matches in 78 days. Because there's a tour and a touring circuit out there that you can do that.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
Yes.
And what's your body feel like at that point? I mean, how do you keep it going?
I mean, you learn the tricks. You learn what to do, what not to do. It's essentially the same as with the Fringe. It's like
I do Cinema Jaw one night a week. I'm beat.
Yeah. And it's a physical thing, yeah. But yeah, it's about performing. And it's about learning how to keep the longevity going with still being, entertaining. So... So, the Fringe, we do it every single night in a row. And basically what it is we watch crappy wrestling on a screen, same kind of thing with the $5 wrestling, and we just do commentary over it. And it's a lot of fun because last year, a different guest every night. And so there's a lot of stars from England who I didn't even have a clue who they were, who were our guests. But because my partner over there, Brendan Burns, he did, he invited him on. And then like Hannibal Buress was a guest one night.
Oh, sure.
And that was amazing. And so like, I was just kind of mingling with all these comedians, which as I'm a big comedy nerd, so like it's just like my dream. Everything's going really well.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so the podcast in extent is comedy, and I did Mick Foley was doing stand-up and I was opening up for him, so I was doing comedy there. My wrestling style is a very unconventional wrestling style. I know everyone thinks pro wrestling like punches and body slams, but I do like comedic style professional wrestling, mm-hmm. which is very hard to understand, but once you see it, like people really seem to dig it. It's all about laughing and smiling and having a good time. So my whole world is it's really one big mix of comedy and pro wrestling.
He is the ultimate entertainer.
Yeah.
I love it. One question before we move on. What is the most painful move in wrestling to have done to you? Is it the suplex?
Well, there's different variations of suplexes. There's so many things that are painful.
But what's the most?
The tombstone piledriver.
Oh, God. Ooh. I mean, you know, sometimes when, like, Ric Flair gives you that open hand chop, you know, sometimes, not Ric Flair himself, I've never had it done by Ric Flair, but those chops sometimes are just a real pain in the
real
butt.
Real stinger, huh?
Real pain in the butt. Then you come back and got these just giant hand marks all over your chest. I remember when I was younger, before I was able to go full-time with wrestling, which I have for the past 10 years, I was a camp counselor. So I would be wrestling on the weekends, and then I would be, you know, at the swimming pool with all the kids as a camp counselor, and just my, I just, my chest would be lit up, and all the kids are like touching it and asking, you know, like what's going on. And I've got to explain that I'm getting beat up on the weekends.
So wow, I can, that is the last one I expected to hear. Just the open-handed chop.
The open-handed chop. Yeah. And we'll test it out on you a little bit later.
I vote for Elias.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good move. We'll open up the jaw box. And just, he just
give an open-hander.
Yeah, and a pile driver. We'll do all kinds of moves on Elias.
Let's perfect. Do that.
We'll take videos and put it up on
Instagram.
On the video, on the video thing.
I love it.
Now, before we move on past myself, I do have a... I do have a couple movie credits.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, yes.
Do tell. So, yes.
Drop that on us.
Bring them out of the vault.
Okay,
I like it.
So the small one is I was an extra in the movie The Vow.
Oh, yeah. Right? With Rachel McAdams.
Yeah. And then they moved me to like a, I don't know. They were like, oh, well, you're a big dude. We'll make you a bouncer. So I had like a, you could see me in The Vow.
Okay.
But the big one I had was I was in the documentary, the Morgan Spurlock documentary, Mansum.
I saw that. I saw that.
Did you see that? I was shaving the butt of my friend wrestler Sean Devary. I shaved his back and then I shaved his butt. And I'm asking if he had a butt shelf. And apparently Devary said... At the Tribeca Film Festival, that got a big laugh when I go, do I have to shave your butt? And he goes, yeah. And then I look at the camera kind of weird going, oh, God. I was told that got a big laugh, so I was very happy about that.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewatch it tonight just to see the butt shaving scene.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, so you can fast forward right to me shaving a man's butt.
I love it. So Colt is sitting in on this entire jaw. Jawheads, definitely check out the Art of Wrestling podcast. It's a total blast. He has his top favorite train movies.
Oh, not wrestling movies.
No.
Why would we do that?
Heavens forbid.
Why would we do that?
No, it just seemed too cliche, man.
We'll talk about it when we get to our top five. Matt, it brings us to a segment called Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore. And Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
the new 400 Theaters.
Tell me more.
The new 400 Theaters is one of my favorite places in Chicago. They got a full liquor bar, the best prices on first run movies. And you can find out what's playing at thenew400.com.
Eye for an Eye this week, Lucy. In a world run by the mob, street gangs, drug addicts, and corrupt cops, Lucy, played by Scarlett Johansson, is forced to work as a drug mule for the mob. The drug implanted in her body inadvertently leaks into her system, which allows her to use more than her normal 10% of her brain's capacity, thus changing her into superhuman. The film stars Scarlett Johansson, Morgan Freeman, and is directed by Luc Besson, whose highlights include The Fifth Element and Leon the Professional. Matt, interested or ignore on Lucy?
Mildly interested. It looks like a cool action movie. The special effects look impressive. And Scarlett Johansson, so, yeah.
Colt, interested or ignore on Lucy?
I think if we're allowed to go with mildly interested, I'll go with that. What happens is I go to Japan or Australia for like weeks on end, and I just have to have movies to watch, and I sit in my room and I watch movies. So this seems like a perfect Japan movie for me.
Nice. It's so hilarious because before you even said that, Colt, I thought I was going to agree with Matt, mildly interested.
There you go.
It's not something I want to rush out and see. It's amazing how it draws so much on that movie that
Bradley Cooper was in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Jawbox.
Throw
I forget
it in
the name.
Jawbox. I do, too. It's called...
The Pill Popper.
Yeah, I forget. I just thought of it in my head, but it's totally...
Unlimited.
Unlimited. It is. Unlimited, yeah. It's like an action variation of that movie, but the same idea that all of a sudden she can use, you know, 100% of her brain, but it looks like she has some type of superpower with that as well.
Yeah.
Three mildly interested for Lucy. We'll see what it has.
I thought that was... I thought when you said the name, I thought it was a movie about a cigarette. So, just one cigarette.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Speaking of new movies, there is a movie that opened up in limited release across the country. It's also on video on demand, which is a pretty cool thing. We've been talking about this, it seemed like for a long time, that these smaller movies were going to finally get wider releases by going video on demand.
And
we're
really
seeing
it
happen. No, I wasn't against it.
Yeah, you were.
The movie is called Snowpiercer.
This chaos. 1,000 people in an iron box. 18 years I've hated the train.
18 years I've waited for this moment.
This is your world. The train saved humanity.
The engine lasts forever. The population
must always be kept in balance.
I said sit down.
Passengers, eternal order flows from the sacred engine. We must occupy our preordained position. I belong to the front. You belong to the tail. Know your place. Keep your place.
Those bastards in the front think they own us.
We'll be different when we get there.
What do you say?
We take the engine. And we control the world.
When is the time?
Soon.
Matt, what do you get when you mix in Mad Max with the Polar Express and sprinkle in some Darjeeling Limited? The Snowpiercer, damn it. The film opens in the back of the train, dark, dirty, and overpopulated. We learn that the Snowpiercer is a train that travels around the world, never stopping. The Earth, after a failed attempt to stop global warming, has frozen to death. The people on board the Snowpiercer are the last survivors of the human race. Just as there is in society today, the train is run on a class system. The poor have very little and are kept in the back in train cars that have no windows. Chris Evans plays Curtis, a passenger in the back of the train, trying to start a revolt against the first class in the front. Matt, there were so many things I loved about the Snowpiercer. The look of the train, for starters, loved it. I also loved that we start in this cold, dark place for the first 30 minutes of the movie. This widened the contrast when we finally see some of the other train cars closer to the front. Secondly, the eccentric characters that populated the train. I have to highlight Tilda Swinton, who plays Mason, one of her strangest characters to date. And lastly, the action scenes. Oh, so much fun. I have not seen creative fight sequences like this in a long time. Just about everything the Snowpiercer did it right. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 4 Jaws for the Snowpiercer.
Wow.
Holy, loved it.
Holy shit. Are you like becoming me or something? What the hell?
I know this is right up your alley, this kind of movie.
Yeah. I like this movie. I will say that Chris Evans, Captain America, was completely unrecognizable. All right. And I actually really if I didn't know that was Chris Evans, I would not have seen it. I like the nods to Terry.
You wouldn't have seen it.
I wouldn't have known it was him.
Oh, I thought you wouldn't have seen the movie.
Oh, no, I would definitely see the movie.
Okay.
There's a bunch of nods to Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Absolutely.
They even name one of the characters Gilliam, which is like clobbers you over the head. John Hurt was amazing, by the way.
He was also.
He plays this character, yep. Gilliam. It's action-packed, like you said. There's a bunch of hatchet fights in this cult, which is always fun to see, hatchet fights.
Are you saying that because next weekend I'm going to the Gathering of the Juggalos? Is that why? Because I love the Hatchet Men.
You're going too? We can carpool.
Listen, I'm wrestling there. I don't. Let's go. Thornville, right. Ohio. Sweet. I'm in.
All right. There's plenty of humor and violence. That was one of the cool things. Each time they opened a new car, you never know what's going to happen. Is it going to be a funny scene? Is it going to be bloodbath? And I like that. But there were some major flaws with this movie too.
Oh, boy.
The one thing that jumped out at me was the ADR. And I don't usually complain about stuff like that. That's why I'm saying we've switched roles here. But the ADR, the voiceover track, was way off. I hated Ed Harris's character. I was expecting way more from that. I don't want to spoil it.
Hold on. So you were able to pick up in this motion, like major motion film,
yeah,
that their voices didn't match their mouths?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and I am
know?
Not that guy. I really am
and,
not.
And I got to call you out on this. That might be the streaming issue. You don't know for sure.
Okay,
I didn't know that was a thing. Is that a thing?
It's
that's
not
thing.
Really.
No, it's
again,
a thing.
If you're streaming the movie, I can't say for sure. I mean, you're streaming it, it could be just
if
off.
You put in over $100 to make a movie, like, you're going to have to, like, notice if it matches up, right?
I blame that on Matt's streaming. I don't know what kind of equipment
okay,
he's
fine.
Got in his
that
house.
Aside, I didn't care for the ending very much, the ultimate end. I don't want to ruin it. And there was one other flaw that I found. Now I'm losing it.
Everything. It was everything. Wasn't
no, no.
It?
There, I mean, mostly this was a great movie. I really did. The thing I liked most about it is it's refreshing. it was super refreshing because there's so many.
Is that a cold joke? Is that
no?
Is that
oh, that was the other thing. The CGI on the frozen wasteland of the world was kind of lame.
Oh, I liked it. I liked the look of the frozen.
It looked
world.
Like a Coors Light commercial. Seriously,
I was okay with it.
I thought it was lackluster.
But how about that scene you mentioned with the they got the. Axes and the hatchets and stuff, and at one point they're battling, and the people in the first class wait until they're about to hit a tunnel so that it gets dark so no one can see, and they have night vision, which is great.
Yeah,
but then the other people bring fire, and all hell breaks loose for like a second round. It's almost like two rounds of awesome sequences.
It absolutely was, man. And the bottom line, like I said, this is refreshing. I mean, there's so many sequels and reboots. This is, although it is an adaptation, it's been based on a French graphic novel, which I definitely want to read now. It was very unique and original filmmaking, and probably the best action movie of the summer. I give it 3.5, 3.5 Jaws.
Best action movie of the summer?
That I've seen, yeah.
That you've seen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I first of all, I've never even heard of this movie.
It's a smaller movie, but this is why we're bringing it to the attention of the Jawheads.
Captain America's in this. Ed Harris.
Tilda Swinton.
John Hurt. It's got a great cast.
Ed Harris, real guy. Tilda Swinton, real guy. Captain America.
Thanks. No, Chris Evans.
Thanks for giving him a nice...
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm a sucker for it's the end of the world and who's surviving kind of movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Right? Like, what was the one... Not. Forever 21 or something. Hold on, 28 days. That's it. 28 days later.
That's a good flick.
Yeah. So you know, like that kind of. Yeah. That, for me, that's always kind of fun.
Now, Matt, we threw this out to the Jawheads on Twitter because some people I know had seen it, and just read a couple of the tweets. I think we got a few that we wanted to highlight and check out to see if they're fans of the Snowpiercer.
Absolutely. Greg Semenza, who is the same on Twitter, said loved Snowpiercer and was fascinated by how it felt more. Sean Wook Park than Jung Ho Bong,
who is the actual director.
Ho Bong, yeah.
And he directed The Host. And the actor from The Host is also awesome in there. He's the guy who can open up the gates to get them through the carts. And even he's an awesome character in the film.
I agree. Actually, he winds up being kind of the heart and soul of the movie.
He sure does.
Darth G007 said, a fantastic movie that more people should be seeing. One of the best sci-fi movies of the past 5 years.
There you go. The Jawheads are loving it, I'm telling you.
I mean, 3.5 is not a low grade, guys. Rodney Stone, who is at JerOB on Twitter, said, it is what summer blockbusters should be. Fun action around an actual plot. A bit tedious near the end, but still very good. And that's kind of what I was saying about the ending. It does lose a bit of its pace.
A tad.
But yeah,
one more or no?
Yeah, no, there is one more. Lee Doherty, who is at IrishBeast78, which is my favorite Twitter handle of the day, said, one of the most stunning, intelligent, and well-executed sci-fis for some time. It also features a career best from Chris Evans.
There you go.
That's Captain America for you guys.
That is Captain America.
I don't know.
FYI.
Yeah. I got a question. Is it normal to put out summer classics that are like based in frozen, kind of like cold tundra? That's a real question. You know what I'm saying?
It is totally different because usually the movies do fit, you know, the themes. You know, like you're out in summer. It's a big summer, big blockbuster.
Yeah, I would think you would put this out at the winter time.
I wonder.
I don't know.
Maybe come Oscar time, it might even fare better. Who knows?
That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe some Oscar noms for this.
Possibly. Especially, I think, for some of the effects they used in the train. I loved it. The art design. I loved it.
Art direction, yeah. Definitely.
Perfect. One other movie we want to highlight on video on demand is called Life Itself. The new Steve James documentary about Roger Ebert is a celebration of life and a celebration of film. Its beauty is that it does not just show Ebert as the most celebrated film critic of all time, but shows Ebert's whole life, the good and the bad. It opens with Ebert talking about why he loves movies so much. One of those reasons is because they can show empathy. They can put us in someone else's shoes. Life Itself did that. It was truly a moving experience for me. I have to give this one 4 Jaws as well. I absolutely loved it.
If you live in Chicago and you're a film critic and you don't give this movie 4 stars, there's something wrong with you. But, I mean, if I had to pick it apart and find, like, one thing that I didn't like, and it's not that I didn't like, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of the digging into the darker side of Ebert. Maybe there wasn't anything there.
What do you think? He turned into Darth Vader?
I don't know.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. He had a drinking problem at one point.
Did he? Because I love, like, when you found out, like... Who's the Wheel of Fortune guy?
Pat Sajak.
Yeah, Pat Sajak was like at the bar every single day, you know, and like just these guys that you think that are just the cleanest, classiest guys, and they're just the biggest scuzzoids ever.
Yeah,
there's
that
nothing
does make a good story.
Better than that. Yeah. Nothing better than that.
And they brush over that. I would have liked to have seen them maybe show a little bit more, but they didn't pull any punches when they showed Ebert's later afflictions and his you know the removal.
Is that when he would wear affliction T-shirts?
No. Okay. When his jaw got removed, you could actually see through this guy's face. It was really disgusting, and they showed it. It was courageous of Ebert to go through that on film, and it's a great movie. It's a great celebration.
So now Roger Ebert has passed away, correct?
He has.
Yeah.
And this was a documentary with his permission or
yes.
After?
Well, while he was still alive. You actually get sort of his, at one point, it's probably one of the most touching moments in the movie.
Yeah.
There's actually like an email exchange going back between him and the director in his final days.
And he's like, listen, I'm going to die, but I want this movie
to
come
out. He's still trying to say a couple of things on the computer, and I believe at one point he says, I'm fading.
Before that, there's a scene where he's in the room with his wife and the director, and he's like, I'll probably be dead before this movie comes out.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But he kept going with it. And again, it really opened with the opening statement that Ebert talks about, that he wants these movies to show someone's full life. Don't hide anything, because who knows, around the world, people viewing this movie, what they might take from it, and the courage that Roger had and the inspiration that he was.
And is this a thing? Like, is this movie, like, is it small? Is it big? Is it in theaters? I have no clue.
It's also, it's the same deal as the Snowpiercer. So it opens up, this is sort of a new way of opening these movies. They'll open in select, you know, around the country and maybe 500 theaters, and then they'll do video on demand. You can buy it for like $7
on
iTunes.
But this is very new, though.
Yeah, it just came out about 2 weeks ago.
Or 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's playing here if you want to see it in a theater at the Century Landmark on Diversey and Broadway. And then it's on iTunes.
Yeah, and for actually people who want to see the Snowpiercer here in Chicago on the big screen, I saw it video on demand. It's playing at the Music Box here in Chicago. So
I meant to see, what was the David Wayne Showalter movie at the Music Box? I didn't catch that, though. Where they went to a camp, music box,
jaw box,
jaw box.
Throw it in the jaw box.
It was supposed to be hilarious, but I didn't see it, and I want to.
Well, because the Snowpiercer takes place entirely on the train, we are covering our top five favorite train movies. Colt came in, and before we even got started, and this is the first time I'm meeting Colt, so just as an icebreaker, I say, you know,
is a Snowpiercer?
No, yeah, I say. Instead of saying something like, "Oh, how about this weather?" I say like, "Hey, what did you think of the topic? And what did you have to say about Colt?"
Well, you said we're not allowed to swear on here, so I would have said, "Swear you swearing piece of swear! What are you doing to me?"
Not the easiest topic.
No. It's amazing how many train movies that there are, and amazing how few of them I've seen.
Right, and Marty, my friend, the guy I do worst poem ever, he got gangs, like awesome groups of people.
Yeah, that was a good
topic. I mean, oh, train
movies. So we'll have to have you back, and you get to pick the next topic.
Just not train movies.
All right, Matt, you're getting us started this week. What do you got sitting at number five?
Before we start.
Sure.
I mean, I couldn't, there wasn't one that was like all train. I mean, are you going all train?
No.
I got one that's all train.
Okay. Some of mine are all trained, but a lot of them are just partially trained.
Mine's like, there's a scene with a train.
That's fine.
Okay,
totally fine.
I thought I was going to get criticized.
We should have done train scenes, honestly. Yeah. All right, so mine here, this is probably the least train in the movie. Back to the Future 3.
Okay.
Definitely a train movie.
So I had that as one of mine.
That's fine. You could bring it up when
we
get to yours,
over.
Too. Okay, that's fine. It's the whole thing that makes Back to the Future 3 even good, if not semi-great, is the ending scene with the train.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, total train movie.
We'll talk about it more when we get to it on Colt's List.
All right. What do you got sitting at number five?
So, Colt? At number five, this was so hard to put this together because we'll talk about the other ones that, like, I didn't put in why, but this was, I don't even know. Okay, so Trading Places I put.
Did not think about it, but it has an excellent train scene.
It has, these are like movies when you were like, okay, something with a train. All I can think about is Eddie Murphy, abuya, abuya, abuya,
right.
Hey, abuya. And then there's the party and the guys in the monkey costume.
Yeah, the gorilla suit.
Right.
It's fantastic.
And, I mean, that was like, that's an ultimate train scene for me. So, in terms, I guess, a train movie in my mind.
Totally did not think about it. Oh. And you're right. I would say, definitely a great train scene. That
Wasn't
it
that Al Franken
movie.
In the monkey suit?
Yes.
I believe it was.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow.
Awesome. good pick right there. Forgot about that scene. At number five, I have a film I actually just watched yesterday because I'm a big dork and I wanted to do my train homework. It comes from Alfred Hitchcock, 1951.
Bleh.
I'm speaking of Strangers on a Train.
Don't you beep that. Nobody knows these old movies.
See, this is how he does it. He likes to seem all highfalutin.
No, I tell you what, though. I've owned the movie for probably a year, year and a half. It's been sitting on the shelf, and I hadn't watched it. It's just been... And then all of a sudden, Matt said, let's do train movies. I'm like, what a great time to throw this movie on.
Now so you have a reason.
I finally watched it, and really quick... It's at number five. It's a really, really good movie. It's not premium Hitchcock, but the only reason it's at number five, really only the beginning where the two guys meet, and basically in a nutshell, a tennis player meets this sort of crazy guy on a train, and they both have somebody in their lives that they want to dispose of. And this crazy guy tells the tennis player, hey, I'll kill your wife if you kill my dad. He doesn't really agree to it, but the crazy guy goes ahead and kills his wife. And now he's holding the other guy to kill his dad, and the suspense grows. It's a Hitchcock, so as the movie goes on, you see where it goes. The opening scene takes place on a train and sort of the closing scene as well, but that's really it.
Starring Andre Agassi, right?
That would have been awesome.
In a Kodak film feature.
And then the reboot was by...
Pete Sampras?
Yeah.
That's all I know.
I love it. That was my number five, Strangers on a Train.
That was the best tennis joke I've ever heard on Cinema Jaw.
For sure. For sure. Matt, we are into our fours.
All right. At number four, I have Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. They all, at least most of them, have the Hogwarts Express in them. But this is the first time you get to platform 9 3/4, I believe it is. They pass through the wall. They get on the train. There's a good portion of the opening of this movie that takes place on the train where the candy cart comes by and all that. It's an integral part of the series and the Harry Potter universe, so I'm throwing it in. Plus, it's got some beautiful shots of a real train going through the English landscape. It's pretty cool stuff.
It does, and I always like it. It's sort of magical when they go onto the platform, and you know, it sort of opens up to this magical train that's going to take them to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Listen, I love movies, but there's some movies you just can't get into. I've never seen a Lord of a Ring. And I've never seen a Harry Potter.
Have you read the books?
I don't read.
Really?
That's what movies are for, buddy.
I think you'd enjoy them, man. They're fun.
All right, Colt, what do you got sitting at number four?
Okay, obviously, you know, I looked up like train movies to see what I liked or what I... And so I remembered watching this in Japan, had no clue what it was, but I was like, I was in desperate need for movies. So, and I remember enjoying it. It was Trans-Siberian, which...
I'll tell you what, you got some taste. It's sitting at number four on my list
as
well.
Yeah, so Woody Harrelson, and I just remember I enjoyed it, and like that's the key. Is like usually when I sit and watch movies on my laptop when I'm overseas, I'll also be playing on something else, you know. And I just found myself kind of enthralled, and I remember just watching the movie.
Yeah, it is Woody Harrelson, Emily Mortimer, and Ben Kingsley is also in the film.
Right.
And,
oh, nice.
And what's awesome too about this movie, what I remember, I rented it, and it was refreshing because. Watching so many movies, you get an idea of where the plot's going to go. I had no idea what was happening in this movie, but basically Woody Harrelson and Emily Mortimer are a couple traveling. At one point, they had meet this other couple that something sort of shady about them, and I like that fear of it. You don't know what's shady about them. You can just pick up there's something sort of mysterious about
something
them.
Something off there.
And at one stop, Woody Harrelson doesn't make the train. And she goes on and it hangs out with this couple, and there's some drug trafficking going on, and next thing you know, there's murders, and it really does.
And
really
also, good. I'll say this, whenever I see Ben Kingsley's name, I'm always like, ugh. And then whenever I watch the movie, I'm always like, man, he's amazing.
He is. He's good in everything.
He really is.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to watch this. I think because like I just think of him as like Gandhi, and like I don't care about Gandhi. You know, like I don't know. But like whenever he's in anything, he's always the best. And I don't know why that's in my mind about Ben Kingsley.
My number four
including Dave.
My number four, as is Colt's number four, Trans-Siberian. Definitely Jawheads. It's worth a spin for sure.
Didn't we just... I thought we just hit that.
Yeah, just recap it. Just recap it. So now we are into our threes. Matt, what do you got sitting there?
At number three, it has train in the title, Throw Mama from the Train. How could this not be on this list?
I guess for a train movie, it can make a list, but it's not that good of a movie at all, Matt.
Danny DeVito, Billy... Really? Billy Crystal, the mom from the Goonies. I forget the actress's name.
Throw it in the jaw box. Actress's name from the Goonies.
Ma Fratelli in one of her few breakout roles in the late 80s. But
So for me, like, it wasn't on my list, and it was definitely one I thought about. But I just don't remember the movie. And in my mind, that's like, that can't be a sign of, like, a great, not a great movie, but just, like, for me, it wasn't one of the greats for me because, like, I just don't remember it.
But there's this one moment that's got to be indelible in everybody's mind, and it's like, hey, this is cousin Francis. She's like, you don't have any cousins. And then he hits him with the frying pan.
Yeah.
You lied to me. Do you remember that?
No.
Really?
I honestly don't remember. I saw it in the theaters, but I don't remember a thing about it. Except I think, like, Billy Crystal hated his mom, right?
No, it was Danny DeVito's mom. He was trying to...
Was Billy Crystal in it?
Billy Crystal was in it.
Ah, there you go.
He was his writing professor. Billy Crystal was Danny DeVito's writing coach or professor, and he wrote a story about the perfect murder. So DeVito tries to hire him to bump off his mom, and wackiness ensues.
All right, Colt, what do you got sitting at number three?
Number three.
That's enough about Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, poor guy. I mean, more power to you for putting it on.
Hey, somebody had to.
And so for mine, Back to the Future 3 was number three, and... it's just like you think. For me, when you said trains, it was like, okay, what do I think of when I think of trains? And this third one, whether it, maybe it was the worst of the three, but it's also it's one of the Back to the Futures. So, like, it stands for something. There's a lot of money put into it. When I was a kid, I loved them all. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever the critics are say about each of them. But, like, as a kid, I loved all the Back to the Futures. And, that train scene at the end where it's pushing the car and it goes off the I mean, this was a train. Train was a part of it. I'm in.
Totally. Yeah.
And he also winds up building the last time machine out of a train as well.
Yeah.
He shows up on the tracks right after the DeLorean is destroyed in a new time machine. Was a train.
Nice pick. My number three, I have a movie that came out in 2011, stars Jake Gyllenhaal. I saw it in the theater. I rewatched it recently. I'm talking about Source Code.
That is a good pick.
Thinking about that one.
No, and honestly, I did the same thing you did, Colt. I Googled this, and this does not come up on any train movie list.
The science behind this movie is plain wacky, but it sure was a fun ride. Gyllenhaal plays a former soldier still alive after a bomb in Afghanistan, and he's able to travel back in time, I believe, like 8 minutes to a train ride, and the train is on its way to Chicago and about to have a bomb detonate on the train.
A dirty bomb.
Well, the bomb on the train, he's just trying to figure out who planted that bomb, because then a dirty bomb goes off in Chicago.
That's right.
And so they can sort of piece it together.
This is one of those where it's like, I think I'm pretty sure I saw it, but I have no clue if I did.
It's a good movie, and it's actually directed by Duncan Jones, who is David Bowie's son. He did Moon and he did Source Code, and again, the science behind it makes no sense. But I love when a movie is just fun. You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of surreal too. Like, is he alive? Is he dreaming? That sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's a weird ending too, because you don't know if he took over this guy's body at the end. Because
you gotta see this one.
Every time he goes into the train.
I think I have seen it, but I just don't remember any of it.
And it's a Chicago movie.
And it is a Chicago movie. The last scene is actually him looking into the bean, and it's not Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's like, whoa, what's going on? So, yeah. Good movie, Source Code. If you haven't seen it, Jaw, it's definitely worth a spin. That was my number three. We're into our twos.
All right, so this is where we get serious here. Number two.
Well, mine's not serious.
I
already know what Colt has. Let me take a guess when we get there.
Okay. All right. Before M. Night Shyamalan shit the bed, I'm just going to say it. He used to make good movies, and this was probably his best, right up there with Sixth Sense in my mind. Unbreakable. Bruce Willis discovers, after being the only survivor of a train derailment, that he is unbreakable and has superpowers. It's a great look at the superhero genre. That it's very well done. It's never been dismantled in this way. And M. Night Shyamalan did it perfectly. I freaking love this movie. It's up there. It's in my top five.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Better than Sixth Sense? You like it better?
I personally prefer it to Sixth Sense.
Wow.
It's in your top five M. Night Shyamalans, or just in general?
general.
Clarify that for us.
Hold on. It's in your top five in general, yet it's number two on the train list?
Well done.
Oh, wow.
When we're getting specific.
I love it.
When we're getting specific, there is a better train movie. Because, and let me defend this, because
you just got body slammed.
I did. The whole movie does not take place on a train. The train is very central to the plot of the film, but at number one, I have a movie that takes place on a train.
All right.
I like it. All right. Good points, Colt. I wanted to take a stab because you had made reference to your number two not being very serious at all.
Yeah, go on.
I'm taking a stab at this one, and I'm going Money Train.
Oh, you better believe it's Money Train. I don't know. It's the obvious one. I saw it in the theaters. It was great. It was all about a train, and that's the only one that I can think of that was all about a train. And J-Lo was unbelievable. I'm not talking about her acting in this.
Right.
But I remember as a 15-year-old kid when this came out, had J-Lo. And and what was this, Woody and was this both White Men Can't Jump? Was it,
no. Oh, no. It was because it wasn't Damon Wayans in there.
Who it was Woody? I thought it was in
Throw It in the Jaw Box.
Who's the guy? Other guy in White Men Can't Jump?
You got Wesley Snipes. Right,
wasn't it Woody and Wesley?
I don't think so. I think it's Damon Wayans. If I had to take a stab at it, that's my guess. But Throw It in the Jaw Box because I haven't seen it since it came out.
Okay, but I mean, I remember it was great. I loved it, and that's my train movie.
Nice.
It's all about the train.
Nice, and I feel so odd because I'm picking it up with more of a serious movie. I mean, following up Money Train, tough to do. But at number two, I have the documentary. It came out in 2009. It premiered, I believe, at Sundance. It's called Which Way Home? And if you haven't seen this, this is a crazy movie. The film follows several children who are attempting to get from Mexico and Central America to the United States via riding the top of trains. Completely illegal. What they do is once the train...
Dangerous.
Extremely. And...
Oh, that's illegal?
Yeah, and the filmmaker who documented it, I mean, it's like, all the horrors and everything that can go wrong. They're getting on the train, and she would
Did
just
you say
film
all
it.
The horrors?
All the horrors that would
They're
go
all
along
in there?
With it.
Okay.
Horrors.
Oh.
But,
horrors?
But no, on a serious note, you really see all these kids, and because they grew up in such a poor area, and they're just trying to get to the United States, and not only that, it follows really three kids. And they finally make it to the border, but a couple of them, one gets detained, and one ends up just sort of like going off to the desert because this is a documentary.
A doc, okay.
Yeah, they cross into the United States, and what does this kid know? Who knows if he's ever going to get picked up, bit by a snake, starved to death? You know, it's really scary stuff. It also in 2009, to highlight one too, Jawheads, is more of a dramatic film came out called from Mexico called Sin Nombre, which is the same idea.
Yeah. Sin Nombre, yeah.
Which is the same idea, just a dramatic tale of the story of three kids who are like running from a gang, get on the roofs of trains that try to make it all the way to America to cross the border. But I don't know. It's moving. It really gets you to think about immigration in a different way. And these poor kids, all they're trying to do is better their lives because there's nothing for them. So,
I've never heard of it. I'll check it out.
Check it out. It is entitled Which Way Home. I loved it.
Okay.
That was my number two. We are into our ones, Matt.
All right. So, Colt,
yeah.
I think you'll agree. This is probably the best train movie of all time. Whenever these two get together, the movie is going to be fantastic. Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor, Silver Streak.
That's a beauty.
That is a beauty. I mean, seriously, I think they had five or six collaborations together. At least four. This is up there with... I mean, it's up there with Blazing Saddles. It's definitely the best train movie of all time. Seriously, there's not many good ones.
I got one up. I'll one up you.
All right. I love whenever Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor are
That's
together.
A good pick, though, from you, Matt.
I've never seen it, so... It's hard. I'm like, listen, if it's before 83, like it's hard for me to watch. I'll say that.
But it's really funny. It's two of the best, arguably the best comedians of all time. I mean, Richard Pryor for sure. Gene Wilder was great on film. So check it out, dude.
I will.
Colt?
I'll say I will.
Hey, but for the sake of cinema, Josh, sure, he'll check it out. What do you got sitting at number
okay,
one?
It's not all about movies, but it's okay, so when my friends come from all over the country to stay at my place, and I'm like, you got to take the train in, and they're like, what are you talking about? By my apartment is the Blue Line, and it's always going by, so whenever I'm on the phone, they're like, what is that? And I'm like, it's the L train. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, have you ever seen The Fugitive? And they're like, oh, okay. And so The Fugitive is my number one for the fact that it's when I think of like the L train in Chicago, it's the first thing I say to a guy. Have you ever seen the L train? Yeah. Or have you ever seen The Fugitive? Yeah, the L train. That's That's what's going around me.
Yeah, so. You know what's fun about that, too, is obviously I saw The Fugitive. I grew up around Chicago, but in the suburbs, so I wasn't that familiar with the L when I was younger, and that's when I saw The Fugitive. And then when I moved to the city, you know, I take the L every single day to work. I'm always on the L. And then I went back and watched it, and it's amazing, like, oh, I know what stop he's at.
Yeah, right.
You know, or, oh, he's taking the brown line there. What a goofy move. He should have took the red line. To-
Yeah, so for me, I mean, that's, like, synonymous with trains, especially the Chicago trains.
Yeah, good pick.
Yeah, excellent pick.
And my number one should be no surprise here. I'm a Wes Anderson fan, and Wes Anderson has only made one train movie. And, of course, I'm speaking of the absolute masterpiece, The Darjeeling Limited.
You just had to put it on there.
Of course. I mean, yeah. I love to, and I comment about this all the time, about how Wes Anderson always picks a certain place to really put all his detail, be it a ship or a hotel now. But here in The Darjeeling Limited, it's the train, and it's the train cars, the people, everything about it. And you got three brothers going on sort of a spiritual vacation after their father dies. And the three brothers, I mean, if it's not hilarious enough, Owen Wilson, Adrian Brody, and Jason Schwartzman.
Ugh.
Comedy ensues.
Listen.
Not your favorites?
I know people love Wes Anderson. I just cannot get into him.
Oh, Colt.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to have to give you a clothesline.
Yeah, it's just, we can fight about it if you want.
Yeah,
but what's going to happen is eventually Wes Anderson's going to lose this, you know, bout. So I'll just, and I know different stuff is for different people, but I just can't get into it. Or him.
He's paced at a very certain speed, and I agree. Sometimes too slow for me. There's a couple of movies by him that I really like. This is not one of them.
And I walked out of Steve Zissou. I mean, I never walked out. I never walked.
It's a masterpiece.
I was so mad, and then I was like, I'm not wasting my money. I walked into Spanglish, and I watched Spanglish on my money given to Steve Zissou.
Hey, I like Spanglish.
You know what? It was one of not my favorites, but I was like, I love Spanglish because of how much I hated Steve Zissou.
Wow. Yeah. Tough crowd. Yeah. Tough crowd. I have an original artwork of Steve Zissou in my place that I bought over at Gallery Z.
You know what? It's an acquired taste, though. It's like brie cheese.
Oh,
you know, the first time you might not like it. Try it again, you know.
All right. We are running long here. We got a couple of honorables. What do you got, Colt?
Oh, so just in trains, like Euro Trip, there was a great train scene on there with the dude from Portlandia, whatever. We know him.
Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen. There's an unbelievable scene on Euro Trip. A League of Their Own when they're running for the train to get to Chicago.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2, I think there was a ghost train. And they're down in the New York subway system.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all the goop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I can't tell you how much I hate Polar Express.
And that was an honorable of mine.
Oh, like how much it just drove me crazy.
I'm
watching
with you,
that
dude.
Movie.
Creepy, right?
So creepy.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you. I've been trying to tell this guy that.
I like the Polar Express.
Oh.
All aboard.
Tom Hanks and those dead eyes.
Oh, yeah. Man. Boy, oh, boy. Jawheads, if we missed your favorite train movie, I can't believe we didn't mention all the train movies right there, but if we missed yours by chance and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We'll retweet it and get the discussion going. What we're going to do is take a break. When we come back, Colt is taking Matt on in Scarlett Johansson, Morgan Freeman trivia, plus an epic cinema war. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw, hanging out with Colt Cabana. Again, for the Jawheads at home, the name of your podcast?
The Art of Wrestling.
Definitely Jawheads. Check it out. I mean, Colt's been a great guest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's on iTunes.
And also, guys, I know we're running quick here. I made two documentaries, movies, The Wrestling Road Diaries and The Wrestling Road Diaries 2, available at ColtMerch.com or WrestlingRoadDiaries.com. I'm going to give these to you. You guys can watch them. You can give them away. Do whatever you want with them.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Yes,
I love when the guest brings us presents.
There you go.
Yeah. Presents. Colt even threw some items into the jaw box or the jam box, whichever he was calling it at the time.
A little bit of both.
We threw a few items in there. Matt, let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! What's in the box?
What's going on, guys? I'm going to be honest here. I don't have my Mac power cord here, so we're running on a little bit of a time crunch. We're just going to move this along. I am afraid, though, I'm going to get disciplined later. You, normally, Matt,
you're going to get
out
you're going to get
the whip.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, though, because Colt's here, and I'm even more afraid of him and
be.
All the chest slaps or whatever they're called. All right, so I'll get to the list here real quick. The Roddy Piper movie with Lil Banna was Body Slam.
Body Slam.
Ah,
that's what we're going to do to you first.
Yeah. Oh, gee, all right. Well, and. You guys got it wrong. Bradley Cooper movie where he's taking the pills, that's Limitless. I think you said Unlimited. Probably
Unlimited,
because
yeah.
of the Darjeeling was on
nice.
Your mind. David Wayne movie, you were saying, Colt, that you were going to see at the Music Box. That is They Came Together.
There it is.
Yeah.
Which I hard
I
to remember. A hard to remember name.
They
right.
Came Together, yeah. Sure.
Let's see here. And, oh, the old ladies from The Goonies and Throw Mama from The Train is Anne Ramsey.
Nice. When it never got that.
No.
And yes, it was Wesley Snipes from Money
it
Train.
Was
nice.
Was, yeah,
well done,
White
Colt.
Man Can't Jump.
Nice. Yeah. Where the hell did I get Damon Wayans?
Racist.
Unreal. Was that everything?
That was everything.
All right. Get back at that jaw box.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, Matt. Lucy is coming out in theaters, and in honor of that, we are playing Scarlett Johansson, Morgan Freeman movie trivia. It works like this, Jawheads. Colt is our guest. He gets to choose if he wants to go first or if Matt gets to go first. There are steals if the person doesn't know it, and if you get hung up on one of the questions, you get one trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez has clues to all the questions. Colt, you want to go first?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a power cord.
So true. So true.
Yeah, sure. I'll go first.
Question number one, Colt. Last year, Scarlett Johansson starred alongside Joaquin Phoenix in this sci-fi love story.
I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know. Yeah.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal.
Her.
Oh. Wait, I saw that. Wait, oh, she was the other person.
She was the voice. See? She was the voice.
Oh, God.
Boy, oh, boy.
I saw that.
Wow. Colt.
I'm an idiot.
Question number two over to Matt. He's up 1-0. Matt, name the 2007 movie that starred Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson that sees the two try to do certain things before they die.
Bucket List. I'm actually afraid to win. You're not going to, like, yeah. put the hurt on me. Like, no,
the
right.
problem with me is that I've seen every single movie. I don't remember any single title.
All right. Question three. Matt's winning 2-0, and he's scared as hell. Question number three over to Colt. In 2013, Scarlett Johansson starred in Don John, in which she dates this actor who plays a guy addicted to porn in the movie.
The guy from Third Rock from the Sun. That counts, right?
No doubt. When you're Colt Cabana.
Give me a first letter. This doesn't count.
J. I don't Joseph.
Know. Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
There we
yeah,
go. We'll give
I'll
it to him.
Give it to me. Thank you.
It's 2-1. 2-1. Matt's still in the lead. Question number four over to Matt. Matt, in 2008's Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, Jesus.
One scene sees Johansson make out with Javier Bardem's feisty ex in the movie, who was played by what actress?
Penelope Cruz. That was a guess.
And it's a great guess. Wow. And what a great scene. Johansson, Penelope Cruz making out.
Yeah, is that on YouTube?
YouTube it.
Okay.
All right.
It's on PornTube. RedTube.
It is 3-1, Matt K. Commanding lead. We need all these ones, Colt. Come on.
Yeah.
It's like Colt's in the sleeper, but he's about to wake up. You know, the Hogan move.
This isn't my forte, but let's go.
All right. Question number five over to you. What was the name of Morgan Freeman's character? It can be even a last name in the movie Seven. And the hint is Brad Pitt played Agent David Mills.
So he would be Agent General Mills. Is that right?
Oh. Oh, boy. Matt, do you remember this
one? The last name of...
Yeah, it was Mills and who in the movie Seven?
Hills.
Yeah, I
Thrills.
Don't... Thrills. I'm going to save my ER. I have no idea.
We were looking for Somerset. William Somerset. But do you guys remember? It comes up a lot in the movie.
Mills and Somerset.
Mills and Somerset.
It's like Cagney and Lacey.
It is.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Still 3-1 at this point, Matt K. And question number six is over to him. Matt, in 2012, the movie Hitchcock, Anthony Hopkins played the famous director. But what famous actress did Scarlett Johansson play in the movie?
I would like a trip to the ER.
Oh, a trip to the ER? Question number six.
No idea.
Elias, who did Scarlett Johansson play in Hitchcock?
Your clue is, likes to scream in the shower.
My wife?
Hey-o!
Wait, okay. Likes to scream in the shower. I don't know. I don't know.
Colt, any guess on that?
Well, it's obviously the girl from Psycho.
Right.
So I would have to say Vince Vaughn. Is that right? I couldn't tell you her name.
It's
Aubrey Hepburn.
Anne Heche.
No, that was from the remake.
The remake.
We're looking for Janet Leigh. She played Janet Leigh.
Oh, man, that was a rough one.
Did you really believe my?
Hey, yeah. I think Colt's got a shot at this one. It's 3-1, Matt K. Question number 7 over to Colt. Colt, what was the name of the 1996 action film that starred Morgan Freeman and Keanu Reeves and Rachel Weisz, actually, which had to do with obtaining clean energy from water? It was shot here in Chicago.
1996?
Yes.
I'll take a trip to the ER for this one.
Oh, a trip to the ER. Question number 7. Elias, what was the name of that 1996 movie? Question 7.
Okay. Your clue is, a series of events happen because one thing causes another and so on.
What would that be called?
Oh, God.
Almost like dominoes.
This is how stupid I am. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Holy shit. That's what I was going to guess.
Deja vu?
Wow. Wow.
So, suddenly I don't feel so dumb.
What's a series? A series of events is, I don't know, a catastrophe? No.
A series of events that happen because of one event after another.
Oh, you got to guess.
Matt, you got to guess?
Chain reaction?
Oh, chain reaction. God.
Wow. 4-1, Matt K.
Oh.
And the last question is over to him. Boy, I can't wait to see Matt get super.
I'm going
to
get my ass kicked.
Matt, question number 8 over to you. Name the 2006 neo-noir film directed by Brian De Palma that starred Scarlett Johansson, Josh Hartnett, Aaron Eckhart, and Hilary Swank.
What year?
This came out in 2006.
I got Shutter Island stuck in my head, but that's not right. That came out way later. Yeah, I don't know.
I knew you weren't going to get it. Colt, any guess? You've been winning us over with your guesses.
It's the one where he hides the detergent in the wall, and the girl at the washing machine place, she finds it. That's a Josh Hartnett movie. You give me that right?
There you go.
Thanks.
I love it. But
what's the title?
We were actually looking for The Black Dahlia.
The Black Dahlia.
Dahlia. Hey. Sorry. I can't read my own
metal
writing
bands,
here.
The Black Dahlia Murder.
Oh, yeah. And I think 40 Days was my guess. That was that movie, right?
Oh, yeah. The
With Josh Hartnett.
Yes.
Yeah.
40 Days, 40 Nights, yeah. I believe. Yeah. Something like that.
That
40
was close
Days.
Enough.
Boy, oh, boy. Matt.
Handshake.
Yeah. No, listen. I mean,
4-2. We give the last one, though, to him for being creative.
Thank you. I mean, it shows that I know movies. I just don't know titles or people.
Yeah. If in case it came down to a tie, we call it a jawbreaker here. This would have been over to you, Colt. Better voiceover for narration, Morgan Freeman or Alec Baldwin?
Morgan Freeman. That's an obvious one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We give that to him. We give that to him. The real jawbreaker was this.
Lego movie.
How many movies has Scarlett Johansson done in how many Woody Allen movies.
How many,
Scarlett Johansson movies
has she given me a Woody in? All of them.
How many?
All of them. Wait. How many Woody Allen?
How many Woody Allen movies has Scarlett Johansson done?
You're saying two?
I'm saying two.
I'll go $1.
Give that to Colt. Three movies.
He likes his ScarJo.
Matt, it brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt bet on a topic each week. And our guest this week, Colt Cabana, gets to play judge and jury and tell the Jawheads at home who he thinks won this Cinema War. And it's important because we're battling for 20 seconds of jaw time.
Now I'm going to be like the judge and like My Cousin Vinny, all right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm
I like
going.
It.
The
I like
two,
it.
The two youths?
The two youths.
Okay.
Now, Matt mentioned that he thinks that Scarlett Johansson is a good action star. Heck, Elias, tell the Jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic, which actress is the least believable as an action star? Angelina Jolie or Scarlett Johansson? Rye, you'll be fighting for Johansson is rubbish. Matt, you'll be fighting that Jolie is a total fake. Let the cinema war begin.
Matt, Scarlett Johansson is 5'3" and about 130 pounds. For reasons other than her acting, she was cast in The Avengers as Black Widow. Dress her in tight black leather. Sure, she looks great, but I never for one moment believed she could kick anyone's ass. Total fail.
That's funny because Angelina Jolie has arms like a twig. I'm sure that the guns she uses on set are made out of foam rubber so she can even lift them. I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I actually really like her in many roles, but she's too frail for me to believe her as a badass.
Come on. Angelina Jolie actually showed some muscle early on in the movie Girl Interrupted and has a look about her that portrays confidence. I buy her as Laura Craft or as a spy in the movies Salt and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Totally buy her.
Yeah, you would buy her, man. Jolie has more action roles, that's a fact. And sure, she's easy on the eyes and all, but ScarJo is just more authentic and coordinated. I believe we're on the edge of another great string of female action roles.
Matt, the movies are amazing for the way they can transform a typical doofus into a cool action hero. Case in point, Keanu Reeves. This is the same case with Scarlett Jo. Smoke and mirrors, smoke and mirrors. Matt, in real life, if both these girls busted into my house wearing tight black leather outfits, I would clearly,
don't tell us what you would do.
What was I saying? That was a great thought I had there. Never mind, Matt. Jolie is more believable as a badass.
Look, the best female action star of all time is Sigourney motherfucking Weaver. That is the candle to which I hold up all other performances, and Jolie doesn't even make that flame flicker. Scarlett Johansson is an Avenger. No, she doesn't have superpowers. She just kicks major ass. Who did Nick Fury send to talk to the Hulk? Black Widow. Enough said.
Who cares? Wow, we are button heads here on Cinema War. We throw it to Colt Cabana, our judge, our jury, our executioner. What'd you think of the Cinema War?
Here's the thing. I'm going to say head to head. I'm going to say Angelina Jolie. She is the better one. But I'm going to say, Matt, you win this argument today.
Yes!
Oh, no way!
Based
Colt,
on the
you're
fact,
going down.
Based on the fact that it's not Laura Craft, it's Laura Croft. Also, Mark Wahlberg and Jean-Claude Van Damme are both like 5'2", and they still are amazing. So you cannot use the size factor with this, all right?
Wow. Wow,
Maddie, man. You're a winner, buddy.
Yes.
Look at him flex his fat arms. Jesus. All right, you get 20 seconds, Matt.
I'm gonna throw it right back to Colt. Everybody check out Colt's website. It's ColtCabana.com, right?
Yeah, it's got everything. Twitter, Instagram, everything. I got it all. Website, web series, movies, you name it, I got it.
And if you're even a wrestling fan from back in the day or you're still following right now, you should check out his podcast, TheArtOfWrestling.com. I'm plugging the guests. That's what I'm using my 20 seconds for.
Well, like if you're back in the day, Jake the Snake Roberts has been on, Stone Cold Steve Austin has been on, Mick Foley's been on, like all those dudes. Bruno Sammartino has been on the show. Like, and literally just me and him talking one-on-one. It's pretty wild. And there's a lot of the new guys, too. Obviously, CM Punk's been on, and a lot of your favorites. So if you like somebody, check it out, and then listen to all the other ones.
That's a great use of my 20 seconds.
Thank you.
Wow, Matt. Wow. I can't believe you beat me on that Cinema War.
Nah, I can.
And on that note, it takes us to the end of a great job. First and foremost, we got to thank our guest. Thanks a lot for coming on, Colt Cabana.
Listen, I had a blast right down the street. I'm a Chicago guy. I love movies. Just makes sense. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll definitely have you on again, and you get to pick the topic. Yeah. It won't be trains.
All right, I'll hold you to that.
All right.
Oh, man. Matt, we also got to thank our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to Redbox Instant.
Yeah, if you go to our website, CinemaJaw, you will see an ad for Redbox Instant. Click on it. You can try their service free for a month. Unlimited streaming, just like Netflix, but you also get 4 free rentals from their kiosks.
You can't beat that. That's a win-win.
It is. We also have to thank the best engineer in the biz, Elias Rodriguez.
Thanks for putting up with my speeding this up here. Thank you.
Oh,
no,
boy.
You're going to get yours. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wait till episode 200.
The best in the biz, huh? Bringing that power cord every time?
Yeah. Let's wipe that title away. Edit that part out, man.
He's one of the best in the biz.
Oh, look at that. It actually just shut down. I don't know. My Mac's done.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There we go.
Stop recording.
All right.
Stop talking.
There we go. Until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.